We begin our resurrection celebration in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
O gracious Father, we dedicate our Easter fire in this Paschal candle, being reminded that the light of Christ cannot be held in the grave. That candle given in the memory of Kathleen Burt. And we think of all the saints who have gone on before, victorious through the light of Christ. And be with us on our earthly journey until that day we are received into your heavenly arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Happy Easter. Thanks for coming up, and I hope you go to the Easter egg hunt following church. I think it might be outside. The grass is starting to dry, so I think that's where it's going to be.
And I got all the Easter eggs at my home.
You got Easter eggs at your home? All of them? We don't have any left. I think we have some more. You know, I know a lot of you have some Easter clothes on. Look, I got my Easter shoes. And look at my Easter socks. The Joker. Cool. Mr. and Mrs. Demrick got me that for Easter because everybody's laughing today at Satan because Satan thought he could get rid of Jesus. So today, you know, when God made humankind, they had a great relationship. It's like this rope. This is from my house. It's like this rope, nice and strong, and it was perfect. But you know, that relationship wouldn't stay the same. What happened? Do you remember what happened with Adam and Eve? What happened? They ate of the forbidden fruit and brought sin into the world. And when they brought sin into the world, it was like cutting that relationship. And you know, God said, boy, I don't want to cut that relationship. I want to fix it. So what did he do? He started, now we have two ropes, see? He started. Now we have two ropes. And God said, boy, I want to fix this relationship. So he told his people to start sacrificing animals for their sins. And he would sacrifice animals. And see, it made that relationship strong again, but it wasn't the same. And God said, I want it better. I want it how it was. And so he sent Jesus into this world that he would pay the price for all our sins. And that he would restore the rope. Look at that. Oh. Thank you very much. I'll be playing here all week. So today, can you be my lovely assistant? Mr. Seagrave is going to help me. Get an Easter egg. Go back to your seat. And then the Easter egg hunt following church in the outside, okay? And I want to thank you for coming today.
Guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
My garden outside is starting to get broken.
Good.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. as recorded in the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Here ends the gospel reading.
The Lord has risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. I was a young kid, we'd go visit. My parents always referred to him as the Schlocks, but it was Uncle Julius and Aunt Lydia, and they had a farm. You know, and we, you know, isn't it true when you're young, people can look so old, right? I mean, man, they're ancient, and then as you get older, that sort of goes away. But I'm sure Uncle Julius and Aunt Lydia would still look old. But we'd go to visit, and they had this farm. It was a nice place. I was a young kid, and I have memories of a little stream going through and picking berries out there. It was a fun place to be. If you ever take the turnpike and you drive under that bridge that says Joppa Road, that's where their house was. So they lost that to the turnpike. And then they moved into this little house in the town. And you'd go to this house, it was so small, so confining, and you'd be in this little front room, and it wasn't as enjoyable as it used to be. And I remember, Uncle Julius and Aunt Lydia, they would make this drink that had butter and honey and whiskey. It's like, they called it a fat schnapps. And even my parents, on a Sunday afternoon after church, still having their Sunday clothes on, they would make some fat schnapps. And, you know, before you know it, my dad would be saying to my mom, "Come sit on my lap." Well, when Uncle Julius and Aunt Lydia drank the fat schnapps, it was totally different. And this happened on more than one occasion. He picked up a knife and chased her. She had to call the police. These are the people I come from. One day we're at their house visiting. It was just my sister and me and my parents, and sitting in that little confining front room, and Uncle Julius in his broken English is pointing at me, talking to my father, saying, "What is wrong with your boy?" Now, I've heard that from my father so many times, I don't have to hear it from my uncle. "What is wrong with your boy?" My dad said, "What do you mean? Last time we were here," that they had this garage with a little porch on the end. There was a nice little porch, and he stored his lawnmower in there, and he had a bunch of newspaper under the lawnmower because it leaked oil. "And last time your boy was here, he started the lawnmower and cut up all the paper, and I had to clean up a big mess." And I'm like, "No, I didn't." "Oh, my brother Rick was with us. Rick did it." Yeah. So I'm saying, "Oh, that's Rick. Rick did that." And my parents are like, "Shut up. Don't say a word, just let it go." Now, it's fun when you have a scapegoat, but when you are the scapegoat, it's not so much fun. God gave the Jews 7 or 8 special annual holidays. I say 7 or 8, it depends how you divide them up. But all these holidays had significance, annual holidays that certainly pointed to Christ, like Jesus came at the Passover. He's our Passover lamb. That's when he died. Well, there was this other day, Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, a great celebration. On that day, the high priest would have 2 goats, and he would cast lots, and one lot would fall to one goat and the other to the other goat. And there would be one called for the Lord. And he would take that goat and slaughter it, and take the blood of that goat and go into the Holy of Holies. Now, you could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and that was only by the high priest. They took this so seriously that when the high priest went in the Holy of Holies, they put a chain around their ankle. Just in case they dropped dead in there, they could yank them out. Wouldn't that be awful, being yanked out of the temple? And oh, he would go into the Holy of Holies. And he'd sprinkle blood on what we call the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a rectangular box. You'll hear it mentioned a lot in movies and in writings. And in the Ark of the Covenant, there was Aaron's rod. There was also a piece of manna that they kept from their wilderness journey and the Ten Commandments. By the time Jesus shows up, the Ark of the Covenant is gone. It's lost during the Babylonian captivity years before Jesus. But still, at the time of Jesus, they would go in and take this blood and sprinkle it upon the altar. Now, if you recall, when Jesus died, we're told the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was split in two. It was a thick curtain. And it's as if God was ripping that curtain. He ripped it from top to bottom. And he sends a message. Now we have access to God, that we can stand in the presence of God, obviously through Jesus Christ. Now, the high priest, after making the blood sacrifice would come out and go to the other goat. And he would put his hands on that goat. And all of Israel would confess their sins. And then they would take that goat and leave it go in the wilderness. Now, we don't know when this certain tradition started. It's not referred to in the Bible, but perhaps God told them to do this. But a tradition started. The Jewish people kept great history books. They started this tradition of taking a crimson stash and tying it around the goat's horns. They would take the other piece, because it would be cut in two, and they would tie it to the temple doors. Now, according to their writing and their history, when that goat was left go, miraculously that crimson cloth turned white. The Jews have a long tradition of that happening. Now listen to this. The Jews wrote a Talmud, and there's actually two Talmuds. They were written in two different locations at two different times. The Talmuds contain Jewish thought, history of the Jews, and commentary on their scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. Listen to what the Jerusalem Talmud says. 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the western light went out, the crimson thread remained crimson. Now listen to the Babylonian Talmud, again, written at a different time in a different place. Our rabbis taught during the last 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the lot for the Lord did not come up in the right hand, nor did the crimson-colored strap become white. 40 years before the destruction of the temple, that corresponds exactly with Jesus' death on the cross. Atonement has been made not through a goat, but through Christ. That whole, we use that term scapegoat. It comes from Yom Kippur. That's where it comes from, the scapegoat. Now think about it. That scapegoat was like a garbage truck for all of Jerusalem. They poured all their garbage on there, all their sins, all their misdeeds. Jesus is the scapegoat. Now I know we talk about sin and we just say sin, sin, sin. And we say, oh yeah, Jesus paid for our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became our sin. Think about what you did yesterday wrong or last week. Think about the things you carry around, guilt, remorse, skeletons in the closet, a gray cloud that travels with you wherever you go because something you did and you're eaten up inside. Now here's a spiritual exercise. Just don't call it sin. Take the deed. Imagine the deed. Imagine what you did wrong and take that and put it on your scapegoat, Jesus Christ. Put it on him. He became our sin. Doesn't that mean he became our deed? You didn't do it. He did. Just like I had to take the blame for my brother. And when it comes to your sin, you didn't do it. He did. And so God takes all his righteous anger and puts it on his son. I wasn't happy to be the scapegoat, but Jesus is. Because he loves you that much. He finds joy in taking all your misdeeds and all your sin and all your garbage and all your guilt and all your pain and all your frustration. He finds joy in taking that so you can be free from it. So that you can find a second chance in Easter, a new beginning at life. That's what he's done. I'm always amazed. Believers just like you and I, how many times on the deathbed I'll hear somebody fearful about whether they'll make it to heaven. And they say this happens with clergy quite a bit also. It's something in our mind, something in our head, because you don't get something for nothing. And you got to pay the price. We toss and turn on our deathbed wondering, have I done enough to find God's favor? Have I done enough to have eternity? Out of all the religions in the world, you look at every religion. Whatever God they have, if you want to be close to that God, you have to do something to be close to that God. You have to do something to win the favor of that God. Only Christianity is a God who does all the work. Even our faith, Scripture tells us, is a gift from God. You didn't decide to believe in Jesus. God chose you, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world to be his inheritance, to be his family. He's done it all. And what a comfort that is. That I can't bring anything to the table, but I don't have to. You wonder if you found God's favor? You have God's favor. And it's in Jesus Christ. You have been made righteous through him. You know, we love him because he first loved us, Scripture says. And that's the only motivating factor in changing our life and changing our world. Because we love him who loved us so much, we want to live to his glory. We want to love our neighbor as ourselves. We want to love God first and put him first in all the things we do. But we're still going to sin. We're still going to stumble. We're still going to fail. And we need that scapegoat, Jesus Christ, to take it all on. You know, a lot of the flowers today are in memory of loved ones. And, you know, we think of loved ones today, whether it's been a recent loss or one long ago. We think of them. They're on our mind. Doesn't it give great comfort? Because imagine how much you loved them. Yeah, they had their weak points and their failings. But God loved them even more and was willing to die for them, to give them eternity. Uncle Julius and Aunt Lydia, they're up there. Uncle Julius probably has a knife. That would be Julius's heaven and Lydia's hell, I guess. But anyway, God's going to fix us. Think of the brokenness in the people we love. Going to be restored. Going to be made right. The same with us. Our failings, our shortcomings, our brokenness, it's going to be all made right. The scapegoat. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Those two things never meet. The scapegoat, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 prophesies about Jesus. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to their own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the scapegoat. Where did this crimson sash come from? We're not sure, but Isaiah 1:18 might be it. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. When you leave today, get a little white sash. Maybe to hang on your front door to be reminded that the true atonement has been made in Jesus Christ, taking away our sins. Maybe to hang it in your car as a reminder that you have no baggage to carry because that scapegoat, Jesus Christ, is the one that has taken it all for you. Wear it around your wrist. They're all already hanging in our columbarium to remind us how loved ones have found salvation, not in their works, not in their good deeds, but in Jesus Christ. You and I have God's favor. And whatever sin we have committed, whatever wrong we have done, even the guilt that so often we hold on to really doesn't belong to us. Christ did it. He's our scapegoat. The Lord has risen, alleluia. He has risen indeed, alleluia. We rise to sing the offertory.
Thank you.
Please be seated. If you're going to participate in the Alleluia chorus, it is during the doxology. Please make your way forward to participate in that. And we rise now for prayer. Oh, most gracious Father, we are your Easter people. We have found our substitute. We have found the one that taken away our sin, our scapegoat for all that we have done, and we rejoice in his resurrection, for the sacrifice has been accepted. Now may we in love change this sad, dark world. We remember those affected by the bomb blast today, this morning. On this day we celebrate life. Why does death come into the world? We pray be with those who are grieving loss of loved ones. Also be with those who are in need of healing. May we bring the resurrection message to a dark, violent world. May we bring the message of peace and salvation to all who are in need. We ask this all in the name of Jesus and join in the prayer he has given us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
We join together in singing the doxology.
Thank you.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made. The angel spoke to the disciples. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give to us his peace. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.